Welcome to Obuleti Oromo Women's Network monthly webinar and podcast. Our conversations are based on topics and issues that are prevalent in the Oromo community, especially pertaining to women. The podcasts are based on recorded monthly webinars led by leaders in our community. These podcasts are meant to attend to the education component of Obuleti's mission. If you're interested in learning more, please contact us via our website, email, and or social media networks. Webinar resources can be found on our website at obuleti.org/webinars. Thank you all for your willingness to join us on our discussion today about back to school and really what it is that you need in order to become successful on your educational journey. So today is really going to be an open dialogue. It's going to be led mostly by question and answer. And then I know there are a few people here who've already went through experiences. But before we get to that, I would like for us to all kind of go around and introduce ourselves. So if you all could start by saying your name, where you're currently living, and your current level of education, meaning like, am I in high school, am I in college, or have I already graduated, and am I already working? And if you are working, you can say a little bit about what you do as well, but kind of keep it brief.
Okay, I'm Eba Abamurti from Houston, Texas. My level of education is college, so that's it. Thank you so much for inviting me.
No problem, thank you.
Hi, everybody. My name is Jolly. I live in Minnesota. I am still in college, and my major is human services, and I am the program coordinator for Obuleti. And my main focus is the mentorship aspect of the organization.
Hello, everyone. I'm Daniel Nibaba. I'm currently living in Kentucky, and I'm PhD. My major is epidemiology. And I do research, and my focus is on identifying risk factors of chronic diseases like heart disease, cancer, and the likes. And Obuleti, I'm trying to help with teaching a panorama to people who want to improve their language skills or who want to begin for those who do not already know how to speak or how to read. And we are working on that. I don't know. Probably we'll discuss it later. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Fadila. I'm from Minnesota. And I'm a nurse here. I don't know what else to add.
All right. You've already graduated, yes?
Yes.
Awesome, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I am Soye. I'm also from Minnesota. And I did graduate a long time ago from college. And I sell real estate right now.
Okay, thank you.
So my name is Najaha Hussein. I live in Minnesota, but I go to school in Virginia. And I'm a second year medical student.
Great, thank you. So I'm currently in my second year of my program, and hopefully I'll be graduating in 5 years. but I'm noticing that a lot of the people that are on this webinar are people who are not necessarily students. I think most of us have already completed our degrees or are pretty close to the end. So maybe instead of people asking questions, since that's not who is present, this video will be shared. It's being recorded. Maybe we could all go around and give some advice or suggestions to students who are currently transitioning out of high school and are currently in college, and also for those who are finishing up college and what they should be looking forward to upon graduation, or what they should be considering while they're still in college. And so I will open it up to anyone to start.
So the advice I would give high school students is, I think I've said this before, but most importantly, students have to realize that their teachers are a part of their success. And that sounds kind of cliche, but it's really important that students, I hope this doesn't come off like the wrong way, they need to build a professional relationship with the teacher. Because when you're applying to college and scholarships and several like internships and stuff, not only in like high school, but also in college, you have to ask for recommendations. And unless they're not able to kind of vouch for your character. So it's important that they build that professional relationship right from the get-go. And I think our students especially tend to shy away from building those relationships. And so I think knowing that even from your freshman year is really important to your success as a high school student, as well as for college and beyond.
I would say, I guess, just from a perspective of someone who is still in college, but who took longer to finish college than anticipated, just because I didn't have the same mentality starting off than I do now. One thing I would say for like freshmen or in high school or anyone who still has a lot of time is to be resourceful and to be active in campus groups and organizations, to do like shadowing and volunteering, and to really seek all options of careers instead of just sticking to like the stereotypical maybe 3 or 4 routes that most people in our community take. I think it's really fulfilling to find something that you actually really do enjoy and to network while you're in school so that you don't get towards the end of school or actually finish and struggle with finding a job because of a lack of experience.
Thanks. Najaha, I kind of wanted to go back to you and ask you the question, like, how do we build those professional relationships with our professors? What does that look like?
So, I mean, for me personally, having gone through high school as, as a freshman, I remember I was very much like a introverted student, and I didn't really participate much in class. You know, I didn't try to go after class to ask teachers questions or anything like that. But I realized over the course of my high school career that I needed to kind of stand out. And so in order for you to stand out, you have to, you have to do certain things that makes you, a extraordinary student. So I think that, for example, like in class, like answering questions, even if you think, you might be wrong, that shows that you are not afraid to, to answer a question and to, be corrected. You know, the fact that you're mature enough to accept when you're wrong, that shows that, you're mature. And then also after class, like a lot of students tend to just leave after class. I think it's important for our students to go to the teacher if they have any questions about the topic and ask questions. That shows that you're really engaged in your learning and that you're, you're wanting to better your education. So those are the type of like interactions that you need to have with the teacher, not just when, when you have to talk to them, but like when you are going out of your way to sort of go above and beyond for your education. Does that answer the question? I mean, there's more to it, but.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah.
I just wanted to add to Najah's point because I was just like her. I didn't like, connect with like my teachers or did any after school programs or anything like that, which is very important. You get to learn that after you graduate, like it's really important. And like right now, I really am trying to go back to school. And it's kind of hard, like who do I put as for my, you know, references or anything like that. You know, it's kind of hard because you would want, like, for me, I'm thinking about, like, maybe medical school or something like that. So, like, I don't have connection with my science teachers, you know. It's kind of hard, so it's very important.
I hear that, making connections early on so that you have somebody to write as your, like,
yeah,
who writes your letter of recommendation or references.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would also like to emphasize that interacting with professors and making time and going to their office hours, meeting with them and asking them questions and making this an ongoing habit so that a relationship can be created between the student and professors, and you have to make an impression as a student and so that your professor will be able to remember you.
Good things don't come easy. You're gonna have to focus and you're gonna have to work hard and you're gonna have to do what everybody don't want to do. That's a whole thing, you know. It's not easy, but if it's easy, everybody would be doing it. So you just have to focus and say, I have to do this because good things don't come easy. That's pretty much what it is. Hard working pays off.
Can you give a little bit more of a specific example of what that looks like?
Oh God, well, the thing is, I'm pretty sure you guys all grew up here, but I grew up in Africa and then, you know, I went to Canada and then here, and I had to learn the language, and you know, it's hard, and I fought every single day, and I say, you know what, I got to go to college, and I worked it, and I helped my family, and you know, went through a whole lot, but I knew that I had to go to college. You know, I mean, I'm always yelling at kids every time I see them, like, what do? Like, are you going to school? Like, how come you don't go to school? You know what I mean? So that's pretty much what I say. I mean, I always tell kids, I'm like, you guys need to go to school because, you know, you have the opportunity. You can be whatever you want to be in America. Seriously, I mean, if you put your time and your energy and your thinking into it, you can be whatever you want to be. That's the bottom line. And if you don't want to do, and then, you know, that's the life you're going to have. So, yeah, that's my thinking.
Thank you, Zoya.
Welcome. Oh, one other thing I would like to add, especially for graduate students, is that mostly it's going to depend on whether you are like a very active student and have done a lot in university, and then so that's your academic achievement. And the other thing is, like we said, it has to be the reference and recommendation that you get from the professors. And so especially when we come back to the academic achievement and something that reflects about you, I would say you have to do something that you will at some point use for looking for a job and the likes. When you do an assignment, and I advise it shouldn't be something is that's only meant for the time being. That's to be something that can help you in the future as well.
So taking every assignment or everything that you do with kind of like this understanding that it will help you down in the future. Like, yes, it's not just about the moment, but it's going to benefit you later on. I agree. I think something else that I would add, especially for high school students. I remember being in high school and being really frightened about what direction I was gonna go in. Like, was I going to medical school or even where I was going to apply? Being that a lot of us are first generation college students, like we don't have a lot of direction. And it's hard to even find that direction, like who is giving you the advice and who's giving you the support. But for me, it was my counselors who were at the school who were telling me to apply for certain scholarships. Granted, there were some people who didn't believe that I could actually even go to college, but trying to keep away those negative messages of the fact that I didn't belong or that I was incapable of applying to schools or getting into certain schools, but ensuring that required that I studied really hard for my SATs and that I took another test, which are ACTs. I've read that, you know, those tests are not the greatest predictors, but they're going to be required of you when you're applying to school. So taking your time and like doing the pre-SATs, the pre-ACTs, doing as much prep work as you can while you're in high school, and also volunteering and being involved in as many activities as you can, and making sure that those activities are not just, you're just doing them just to do them, but that they're meaningful and that you can somehow talk about them when you're doing your personal statements or you're answering those questions that they ask you in all those applications, making sure that it's able to like fit in with who you are and what you represent. And I think an advice that was given to me, obviously when I was in high school, I had lived through a lot of trauma from back home, whether it went from poverty or whether it went from the living conditions. There were a lot of things that I was going through, but I had a hard time kind of putting them on paper and really talking about them in a way that was like, yeah, I want you to give me the scholarship, or yes, I want you to admit me. But at the same time, I don't want you to like have sympathy and be like, oh, she's just such a lost child. Like, I don't want that, but more of like an understanding, and here's how I'm being resilient, and knowing like how to showcase resiliency and persistence. I think it's really important. And I think for me, I just had a lot of internal, like, I need to do this and I need to get out. And so I found those people at school who could really direct me in the right ways or to the right people or to the right resources. But it's really, really crucial, especially in high school, to find those individuals, because you might not find them in your home or in your community. That's what I have.
Okay, we just wanted to add on to what you just said. It's very, very important that we find, you know, those inspirations, wherever they may be, whether that's through teachers or community workers or just even, you know, relatives or family members. I can totally relate to what you're saying, Howie, because for me, like, where I am today is for me, it's a dream. You know, it's a dream, and I never realized I would be here today, being in medical school, that is. But like, I remember when I was in high school, my teachers would always be like, oh my gosh, like, you have so much potential, and like, you're gonna go far in life, and like, you're gonna do great things. I always thought that was a very like empty sort of like compliment from a lot of people. But I think as immigrants, as refugees or whatever, as people who are not born here especially, we don't see the potential in ourselves. Like, it's really, really hard for us to be like, yes, I can do that. I can do anything that anybody else can. You tend to not believe in yourself. And so I think for me, like, it took the longest time for me to be like, okay, like, maybe I'm like really good at something, and I'm gonna do something with my life, and I'm gonna help people, and I'm gonna, you know, go far. It took me a while to get to that point. And so like, I had high school teachers who would tell me like on my papers, for example, like, oh, like, this is really great or whatever. Like, for example, I was, I went to a public high school in St. Paul, Harding High School. And we had an IB program, but I remember in my freshman year, I was pretty much in the mainstream courses, you know, doing what everybody does as a high school freshman. It wasn't until like my sophomore year when I decided to switch out of those classes and actually take what's called IB classes or International Baccalaureate. Those are more challenging, are really more geared towards like college preparation. And so in those classes, you know, they're challenging, and I was actually enjoying them even though they were challenging. But I had one teacher who was very much like a role model, a mentor for me, who told me that, you know, I can do this and I can do that. And he still to this day is a great resource of mine. But it was like my, in between my sophomore and freshman year that I realized like I really wanted to go to college. Like before that, I'd never thought that I would be going to college. So from then on, I decided to, you know, take the ACT practice tests and really start to think about what I needed to do to go to college, because we didn't have, like you said, we didn't have role models who were going to guide us step by step to get to where we needed to be. So we had to sort of navigate it ourselves. And in order to do that, you have to be really, really motivated. You have to be motivated that whatever it is that you have set for yourself, whatever goal you have set for yourself, you're able to achieve it with your will. Like if you have the strong will to do it, you can do it. And a lot of times it's really, really hard to believe when you're in high school, because it's really challenging, you know? But I think, you know, speaking from people who've gone through it all, like I think my advice to them is just believe in themselves, because a lot of times there will be people who can believe in you, but it takes you to believe in yourself to get to where you need to be.
Absolutely.
So since Obaleti is woman oriented, I was wondering if any of you ladies had anything to share about either your education or career experience coming from like Orma woman's perspective. You know, whatever influence, I know that Soye said that she had to help out her family, and like that's a pretty common thing that you know, women do, where they're balancing multiple things at the same time. So is there anything that you guys would like to share coming from that perspective? The challenges of being like an Orma woman and trying to pursue your goals?
Is there only like one guy in the room?
There is.
I think there's another guy somewhere.
It's a little bit of a bias, I guess, but I can start, I guess. Mm-hmm. For me, you know, I'm the oldest of eight in my family, and I have only three brothers. But I feel like my parents sort of, you know, saw me as like the oldest as being like both a son and a daughter. So I had to kind of serve both roles. but let's say like in terms of education, I would say that, you know, I think once I got older, once I started college, like the gender roles started to sort of present challenges. Mm-hmm. Just because for me, I have a very unique story in that I got married my sophomore year in college. And so that brought on more like cultural, you know, issues and stuff about going to college. But even before that, like I was in athletics. I played sports in high school. And being an Oromo, you know, Muslim female, that was unheard of, you know. Mm-hmm. My parents, you know, I would always tell my parents like, oh, you know, it's for my future. Like, it's gonna help me get into college and all of that stuff. Like, I told them I needed it, because after I found out that that's what my peers were doing to get into college, that's what I needed to do too. Like, I didn't think that just because I was Muslim and just because I was a female, just because I was Oromo, that it should stop me from doing the things that would benefit my future. And so my parents understood that, and I'm really, you know, grateful for that. But I know a lot of other families don't understand that. And then once I was in college and married, people were like, oh yeah, you know, it's a girl, she's a girl, you know, she's a woman, she's gonna stay home and become a, you know, stay-at-home mom or whatever. And there's so much doubt, there's so much, there are many barriers in our culture, in our society, not even just Oromo culture, but even in American culture, to be a female and to try to further your education. So I think we have to keep in mind that what we want out of life, if it's going to make us happy, we should go for it. We shouldn't let these obstacles, these, you know, arbitrary societal norms stop us from achieving our goals if it makes us happy.
Like, to be honest, I haven't had like major challenges because my siblings were very understanding, and I am the youngest, and the only challenge I had was, you know, going to school, studying late, coming home late, you know, like all why are you here, you know, I'm late at this time, like, I gotta study, because they don't understand, like, they haven't been to school, you know, like, they don't know what we go through, like, are you still studying, like, it's 4-5 hours, like, yes, I'm still studying, it's kind of hard to kind of, like, explain yourself to your parents, because, you know, some of our parents, like, you know, never went to school or anything like that, so.
Yeah.
Those are my challenges, like, growing up. So that's why I decided to go to school that's, like, you know, 2-3 hours away. So I lived there in the campus and finished my studies, which was my preference, because I knew if I stayed home, it would be, like, a big challenge. So
yeah,
that's the way I did it. Just because, like our women, I don't know, like, it's just, they think it's unsafe, and culturally it's just like, oh, Dalan, you know, they can't be home, like, out for that long, you know, it's, I don't know, if I was a, you know, a male, then it would be different, but
yeah. And, you know, in the wintertime, it gets dark at, like, 5 o'clock, there's no way you can do everything before the sun goes down.
Yeah, so those are the problems, but, yep.
Can I add on to that?
Yep. You look eager.
Very much so. you know, I totally agree with that. Like, I can see as a parent now myself, I can see how, as parents, like, we tend to be overprotective and, like, want our children, not just, you know, girls, but boys as well, to be safe and to, like, you know, be in a good environment, but at the same time, I think with Oromo culture, like, they have this, like, misconception that if you live on a campus, college campus, that you're not safe, that you are gonna, you know, I mean, obviously, you know, there's always a risk with everything, right? But they always seem to just go with the bad and, like, don't really consider the benefits over the risks. And so for me, like, having gone to college on campus was, like, the best decision for me. Even after I got married, I was on campus because I knew that it was more disciplined, it was more structured. I feel like I would have sort of had more distractions if I was at home and going to school from home. So for me, that was the best decision I ever made. And I think for any girl considering college, whether away from home or at home, she has to consider, you know, the sort of distractions that she might have and how that could affect her education. And so definitely consider both options.
I think we're having some really great conversations. Thank you all for your willingness to be open. Daniel, did you have anything else you wanted to add or even talk about kind of your perspective or your take on the experiences of Oromo women?
Well, really, I can't say much, but, you know, when I was back home and I was a high school student, you know, culturally, it's accepted that, like, girls help their brothers. So I expected my younger sister to wash my socks. And I think it was grade 11. Like, she was in grade 11, I was in grade 12. She said, no, I'm not going to wash your socks anymore. You want to succeed yourself, but you don't care about me. So I thought, okay. Now, next year, she is gonna take a national living, school living certificate exam, which is a university entrance exam. If she fails, she might say, well, I've been supporting you, like, doing this and that for you, so that's why I failed. And then I realized I should stop her, do something for myself, while she has to be studying just like I do. I don't know if that kind of like burden is there on women and families. I can't say much about that, but it can be a factor. Like if in families cooking or doing that and this and that, it might add some burden and consume their time, and so yeah, culturally, some things might have to change. That's what I think.
Thank you. So I would continue to echo that, and I would add that as Oromo Muslim women, me personally, I think that it's to our disadvantage and that our families don't understand, and the societal constructs that are put on us for all these identities that we have definitely make it difficult, but they're also what allow us to, I think, be persistent and still be able to be really great. I think they can be like areas of coping. I think that early on in my college degree, or like freshman, sophomore year, I remember being really like anti going home, talking to the family, just because they were telling me that I needed to fill these roles. And I needed to come home, I needed to help, I needed to be like immersed in the family culture and the dynamics. And for me, it was really hard. I'm going to school, I'm trying to like do something for myself. And I was also changing my major in college and being ashamed of the fact that I have to change my major because it wasn't what was expected, was really hard for me. But now, like, as I continue to go forward, those identities that I once shunned and that I once didn't care for, like being with my family, are something that I really look to now as a form of like strength. I think I talk to my dad maybe 3-4 times a day. But I think that just has to do with having strong relationships with your family where you're able to have really good conversations. You know, it's not like, I think sometimes there's this like dialogue that happens in our families where the men always feel like they have to control their women and their children and all that, these gender roles where those expectations are already there. Which make it really hard on us, like how, where do I fit in? How can I have this real genuine conversation with my mom or my dad about changing my line of study or my focus in a way that's meaningful? And I think one way is to build that relationship early on. And another way is to have mentors or people that can speak on your behalf who like can go in between your parents, who understands your parents' culture and also understand your culture, like ambassadors, I guess, for lack of a better word, who can like help you manage those things where you can have like a safe space for them to talk to and really like massage those issues out and so that you can have like a really better conversation with your parents. I remember like I was in college, I was pre-med, and I wanted to change from pre-med and feeling really guilty, like extremely, extremely guilty. And I couldn't talk to my dad because I was so afraid that he was gonna be so upset with me. I wrote him an email, like a whole email explaining why I wanted to change it all and why it wasn't the right direction for me. He still says he hasn't received that email till this day, but I know he got it because he was really disappointed. But that was one angle that I took. I think I like slowly started to train my dad, like this wasn't the right path for me. And this is what I'm gonna do. But now me and my dad could have really honest conversations about like my career trajectory and what I'm doing with my life. And he's respecting of it because he sees like why I wanna do it and why it's important to me. So yeah, that's what I wanna say.
For me, my experience is, of course, definitely different. I grew up in Africa, and my dad was not educated. I always liked to read, and his understanding of me reading was kind of more of like not willing to do the house chores. So that's really what it was. But my mom, at the same time, my mom had two brothers that were doctors, so she kind of like tried to be like my mom, honestly. Like, I have so much respect for her because when I grew up, she always said nothing but positive things about me. She always said, oh, she was born with knowledge and she knows about everything. And you know, all those kind of things. And I grew up, my dad telling me that I'm going to be a nurse when I grow up, or my mom was saying, no, she's going to be a doctor. So, yeah, of course, you know, even when I go to college, my first year, I wanted to be a nurse, and I was actually in Canada, and then I worked with, like, a seniors, and my experience was really bad. That's why I backed out of nursing school, because went to, like, a nursing home. I was supposed to do some kind of training for a couple of weeks, and they assigned me to this old man. He was probably, like, 90 years old. And so when he was told that I was going to be taking care of him, he went to his drawer, and he drew out a magazine and opened a magazine. Before he opened the magazine, there was a picture of a monkey. So he said, how can somebody who came from this is going to take care of me?
Oh, my gosh.
Yep, it's a true story. That's when I said, you know what? I said, anyways, I grew up having asthma and being sick all the time. So that's when I was like, you know what? I'm not. One day I wake up and I just went to my advisor and I said, I'm not going to nursing. What do you mean you're not going to nursing? You took chemistry and you took human anatomy and physiology, and you're like, all your life you studied science. And how can you do that? You want to go to, you know, what do you want to do? I said, I want to go to business. I'm like, what do you mean you want to go to business? You didn't take any business courses. I think I'll train some of my courses right now with second semester. So, and I'm going to take summer courses. And I said, I am not going to go to nursing school. And when I went home, I was crying. And it was like crazy crying. And so it was like, I remember I told my mom and said, I'm not going to become a nurse. I'm not going to become a doctor. I'm just going to be whatever I want to be. And I studied business and finance and management information systems. And I was in the software industry for 4 years. And then I switched over to mortgage and real estate. And I really do love what I do. I'm kind of like, I don't know, honestly, if I was married and if I had a normal husband, how is this going to work out? You know, being on my feet all the time and meeting with new people all the time, I don't think that would really kind of work out, but I like what I do. I really do. And now, of course, I get a lot of our people come to me, and a lot of African people come to me, and I get some white people, you know, all kind of people. But my experience is a little bit different. When my mom was like, wanted me to be a doctor and this stuff, I thought about it, about going back, and, you know, when you come to America and you start making money, you don't want to go back to school once you're out of school. But definitely, to be honest, I love education. If it's going to make, I don't need a master's degree or, you know, PhD for real estate. But if it was like a nurse or if I was in a different field, I would definitely do it though.
All right.
Oh, yeah, it's kind of a little bit different for me, but
No, thank you. Thank you for giving us a raw, authentic experience.
Oh, yeah. Okay, I'm hoping that we can transition into some advice that is for college students that is specific. For example, if you all have had experiences like living in the dorms, if you should live in the dorms your first year, or if you should get an apartment, and like what worked best for you and what could possibly be beneficial of having that experience, or maybe some hindrances that come along with it. But that's just one example. If you guys have some like concrete examples, that'd be really great.
I'll go.
Okay.
So freshman year of college, I decided to, you know, live on campus just to kind of try it out. And like, I didn't know because I just experienced it. And I did. I mean, I had like great experiences because I got to learn a lot of people, you know, different people, different perspectives. And it's just it's kind of nice to connect with others. But when that ended, like, you know, the loans are, it's very expensive living on campus. Let me just say that. So after my first year, I decided to live in like apartments with, you know, just friends, like really good group of friends, like four or five. And then we got apartments and we just kind of shared the rent and food, everything. We split it and it worked out fine. But if you want to do it, go ahead and do it just to kind of experience. But it is very expensive. So I wouldn't recommend it because it's just, you're just going to pay a lot. But it won't hurt, like, just to kind of see how it is. So I would do it for the first year and then after maybe get an apartment.
I agree with Adila. I think that depending on what college you end up going to, it's important that you consider the cost. Like for me, I went to a small private school and it was required that we lived on campus for the first 2 years. So like I had no choice there, but at the same time, I'm glad that I ended up living on campus all 4 years because I think you miss out on certain things if you are not living on campus, especially the first 2 years because, you know, like I said, like, I mean, in retrospect, I think about the people that I met in college and it was mostly through out of the classroom experiences, like, you know, living in the dorms, they have some, like, they have community events, they have team building events. For our school, it was like a, you know, like a gendered building that you lived in, a gendered dorm. So we all got to, you know, build relationships with each other. And so, like, now, many of the people that I know that I was friends with back there that I lived with are doctors currently. And so, like, that's a huge network of people that you can look back on and use as a network. Otherwise, like, you know, I think it limits you if you go to a college where they do have those sort of like out, like community oriented activities that builds relationships. Otherwise, like if I had gone to the University of Minnesota and I was so close to home, I probably wouldn't have lived on campus just because it's so much cheaper to go from home. And there's not really, I don't think that they're as community oriented. It's such a big school. And so I think you have to consider all factors. I went to St. Olaf College, which is in Northfield, Minnesota, which is about 45 minutes to an hour from the Twin Cities.
I lived actually off campus my entire 4 years of undergrad, and that had a lot to do with me just not knowing. I did want to live on campus in the dorms, but I didn't know what that meant, and having to like share a room, it was just too much for me, I think, as a freshman. But I got an apartment with my friends off campus, and I will say, though, I think the biggest advice I can give anybody who comes from an Oromo household is when you're picking roommates, like, maybe make sure they're not your friends. One, it's just, like, the cleaning and the duties and the standards that you have might not necessarily be the same standards that your other friends have. Even if they're Oromo, it might be different, obviously, but I feel like Oromo moms have certain expectations, especially in terms of cleaning, and that rubs off on you because obviously you are, you know, your mom's child. And so those expectations you also start to like look for, and you want them to also follow those guidelines. Like when I was in like my first year, like I was really going head to head with my roommates because they we're not cleaning. Like, why are we not cleaning the dishes? Why are we not taking out the trash? Why are we cleaning in a way that's not really clean? It's just, you know, you're just wiping dust but not cleaning dirt. Was that for me. So being really mindful of the type of roommates that you pick. And if you, even if they're your friends, like being mindful to have like those conversations ahead of time so that it's already there, you know, like the rules that you guys have already set are there ahead of time. I think another advice that I would give is to participate in all the student orgs that are attractive to you. And even ones that might not be attractive to you, it would really shock you to join an organization where you are like, oh, I have nothing in common with these people. But sooner or later, you'll find that your interests could possibly align, or you might make a solid connection with them and they'll help you down the line, or they might just become a really good friend of yours. But don't limit yourself just based off of identity that you've already developed. Like, challenge yourself to be a part of as many student orgs as possible. It'll definitely help you in your sense of belonging and like connectedness on campus. So I would really echo that as many times as I could.
Okay, I guess for me, it would be like, I completed my undergrad. I got my degree in biology with a chemistry minor. And I transferred twice, and it wasn't really fun transferring, but it's fine if you have to. But I would say like the biggest thing starting off is probably, just creating a schedule and creating time to study and time to review your notes, just knowing your schedule and just spending that time and knowing what classes that you want to take and, picking the right advisor, to help you. And I think what helped me a lot is like I would take exams and stuff. So after my exam, I would go to my professor, and not all professors are really nice, but I'd go to my professor, and the questions that I got wrong, I'd go over it with my professor, and he's very helpful, very nice. And that helped me do a lot better on like the following exams, because I know where I was lacking and where I can do better. So I think like just building that relationship with your teachers and, and then also like if you take classes with certain people, like just like you end up like making friends, and then you guys can like continue taking other classes together and then creating that study group so you guys can study together all the time. That's really helpful. So, yeah.
What I would like to add is about like choosing a field of study. Sometimes I observe some people like do get into a field, and then at the end, probably when they get out and look for a job, they don't find it. So especially when you have to choose a field of study, make sure you consider whether you are going to get a job with it. So it's good to go out and search and look at what is a job opportunity for this field. And that's something that's important in my opinion.
Oh, I was just going to go back to the topic about just the contemplating on living on campus or off of the dorms thing. I know that's a really common thing that a lot of people battle with trying to figure out. And you guys did really make good points about how it's a financial cost. I think ultimately, it's just a matter of comparing and contrasting, because everyone's situation is a little bit different. If you do live in dorms, it is much easier. But if you know that the financial situation isn't worth it, then it just takes a little bit more effort to make those connections. So for the most part, when it comes to college, when people are done with class, they just want to, they just want to go home, or they just want to get out of there. It takes a little bit more effort to stick around campus and to go to these organizations, or, to go to different things, versus when you live on campus, it's more accessible and it takes less out of you. So someone who is thinking about college, I would just tell them to compare and contrast and see what they are able and are not able to do. And if they have a program, they're in a program that most colleges have that they're not limited, then maybe consider a school that's a little bit cheaper, just for the sake of being able to utilize the most out of college and get the connections that you want. It's just a matter of kind of weighing out your options and seeing what's more important than the other and what is it that you can adjust a little bit. So I won't completely say don't do it, because I know personally I hadn't have lived on campus, my situation would have been much different in college, and I probably wouldn't have the same connections or the same networking that I do now. But yeah, those loans are serious. So at the end of the day, people aren't going to pay those loans for you. So you don't have to literally take a big financial risk for that sake. There's other ways around it.
Absolutely. And I completely agree 100%. Sorry, can I go?
Yeah.
So I, you know, I wanted to say a couple things to touch on, which Ali just said, and then just going back to high school, advice for high school students again. Like all of this can be, like I said, if you're a freshman in high school, if you're a sophomore in high school, this is like the prime time to sort of start thinking about college, because I know, speaking from experience, that's not where I was in my freshman year of high school, excuse me. Because if you start to think about this, like if you start to think about the cost of college and like what you're going to do and like, you know, so your goals for beyond high school, I think it makes things so much easier. Going back to the cost of college and like considering whether to live on campus or off campus. For me, I went to a very expensive small private school. It was more than $50,000 a year. But when I was in high school, I knew that's where I wanted to go. Like my junior year was set. I was going to go there. I had visited already. I loved it. And I knew the price tag, you know. So from that day, I decided that obviously my parents were not going to be cashing in $50,000 a year for college. And I certainly was not willing to take out loans to go to college. So I decided to apply to scholarships, you know, like everything. Like it took literally hours and hours, but I knew it paid off in the end because I went to all 4 years loan free. And all my siblings who came after me did the same. They all went to college, you know, without any loans. And it took a lot of planning. And I, like I said, you have to know what you want. And in order to do that, you have to start thinking about it early to give yourself enough time to apply to scholarships. And then, so obviously with living on campus comes the, you know, extra costs and living, you know, room and board as well. And so you have to consider all of that before you make a decision to pick a college. With respect to rooming situations, I was a resident, obviously, in college, so I lived in the dorm, but also I became a resident assistant in my junior year, so I was overseeing the dorms myself. And as a resident assistant, like, you sort of are kind of the mediators of roommate issues. And so I saw that even people who were from the same backgrounds who didn't necessarily have, you know, any, you know, like, contradicting beliefs or principles on life, anything like that, people regardless, even husband and wife, they always get into it, right? Whatever it may be, you're going to get into it with people. But I think living with someone, whether that's your spouse or a roommate in college or someone off campus that you're living with, it gives you such, you know, like a really great experience, a life lesson, so to speak. Because you're learning so many skills. You're learning communication skills. You know, you're not being passive aggressive. You're voicing your concerns about something. If someone's not doing the dishes, you're not gonna be just like mad and upset and not say anything about it. You're going to be like, hey, like, let's do the dishes. So like those sorts of things, situations are good in a sense because you're practicing these skills that are really essential for life, period. So I would suggest that wherever you are, like whether you're with your siblings, with your friends, on you know, with a roommate on the dorm, take it as a lesson in itself, and really appreciate the learning experience and know why you're there and what you're going to get out of it. Because at the end of the day, whether it's a good or bad situation, you're going to come out of it with a lesson, whether that was a good one or a bad one. And then with respect to expectations for moving to college, I know a lot of families, Ormo families, have this sort of fear that you're going to end up forgetting your culture, forgetting your religion and all of that. Because for me personally, I went to a Lutheran school. So it was, you know, based in the Lutheran faith. And my parents were like, oh my gosh, he's going to convert to Christianity. So they were very much like apprehensive about that. But like, first, like, I think faith is a huge thing, right? Like it's something that, it's a personal journey, right? Like before I was in college, I didn't really give my faith a whole lot of thought. because I was around Muslim people all the time, and my family was Muslim, so there's no reason to question my faith at all. But when I was in college, in the school, my school required you to take religion courses, not only in different faiths, but in the Christian faith. So I learned a lot about Christianity, but I also took it made me question my own faith. Like, what do I know about this sort of principle, this sort of value about Christianity, and how that's sort of interpreted in Islam? So I had to do my own homework and be like, hey, when I was in classroom discussions and stuff, people would be like, hey, so what does Islam think about this? And I'll be like, oh, I guess I don't know. So I'll go, read on it myself. So I had to be more proactive to learn about my religion and what it took for me to sort of practice it. And so that goes for everything for your culture as well. So just because you're away from college doesn't mean you have to forget about your Oromuma. It doesn't mean that at all. Your identity is who you are. You're going to take it with you wherever you go. Only when you're taken out of your comfort zone or out of your element are you able to really question and really reflect on who you are and, how you want people to perceive you. And I think it's a great experience to go to a college where you don't share the same values, because that really, questions your values and see how you're really strong on your values as well. And then last point about picking majors, I think I mentioned this earlier, but you really have to know that, like, in college. I'm sorry, in high school. I didn't know it. Like, I didn't really have my mind set on being a doctor. No, none of that really crossed my mind in high school. But I knew that I wanted to go to college, and I wanted to go to college and I wanted to get a degree where I could help people. And I didn't know what that was going to be, but I knew what college was going to be. It was a very expensive college, so I had to start planning for that. And then once I did go to college, my freshman year, I started to really try out different majors. I first started off wanting to do nursing. And when I was in the nursing major, I had a really bad experience where one of the professors was like, sort of doubtful about my abilities about being a nurse. And I was like, oh wow, like, and I was like doing really well in the classroom, but I didn't fit in because everybody in the classroom was like white males and women. So it was just like, I was a sore thumb, and I was like, I really don't even find this very challenging academically. So then that's when I decided to try out biology, and I ended up getting my degree in biology because it was more challenging for me and I really enjoyed it. And I actually also was a nursing assistant for like a couple months, wanted to try out what being a nurse was like, and I hated it completely. I was working at a nursing home, and it was just the most terrible environment. I do not wish that on anybody's parents or grandparents. And so, having done that, like, it sort of just like, cross it off my list, moved on. But no, I think for me, it was like that professor who doubted my abilities was like, I always take that as a challenge. Like, really? Like, you don't think I can do it? Well, I'm going to show you. Mm. And so, like, always use that as a motivation. But yeah, try out different majors, try out whatever, whatever classes are being offered in different disciplines. Because I knew when I was actually in high school, I wanted to be an English major. I wanted to do literature because I loved reading and I loved writing. But once I got there, I was like, I really don't know what I could be doing that would be helping people with an English major. So that's, even though I was taking all the classes, I actually took a lot of religion classes as well. I was almost a religion major. But there were things I loved, but I knew that because I wanted to help people in the end, like, those degrees wasn't going to be my sort of means to get to that, to helping people. So now, like, I still, read up on my religion and, like, read on theology and that sort of stuff, and obviously do the things that I love, but I know that, science and the application of science and medicine is really my, like, sort of skill and my goal. My giving back to the community, that's how I'm going to do it. So try out different majors, and think about what your goal is in life. Whatever you want to do, it starts there. Taking baby steps to get to meeting that goal.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Definitely agree with a lot of what you said. I actually wanted you to talk about, before you talk about it, I wanted to actually talk about, I know that like in undergrad, I ultimately changed my major to psychology and family human services. But in psychology, I noticed very late on, I didn't change my major until about like junior year of college. So I had to focus a lot of my energy on getting the classes out of the way so I can be done in the next 2 years. But something that was there and that I never knew about was research. Like, you can be a research assistant as early as your freshman year in college. And you might not know what that is, but there are a lot of fields that offer the opportunity for you to be a research assistant. And research is not what you think of it to be. Like, you might have a certain perspective in your mind of what it looks like you're just messing with, like, you're measuring, like, it's not like that. It could be different based off of what you're interested in. And I would really, really, really encourage anybody and everybody, regardless of what field you're in, like, research opportunities exist. So seek those out. And they will make you more competitive as you're applying to jobs once you graduate. And then also, if you're thinking about graduate school, which you should, they will make you even more competitive as well. Especially if you're thinking of a PhD, that is definitely something that's going to make you stand out. And something that I did a little bit of when I was in college is studying abroad. It was just for very briefly, it was for about a week and a half. But I know Najaha has more experience in that, so I was hoping that you could talk about that a little bit more.
Yeah, so with the big price tag, having gone to St. Olaf College, it was a part of their St. Olaf experience to send students abroad to study. And one of my first experiences was I traveled to Morocco, which is a North African country. I'm sure a lot of people know about it shares a border with Spain and Algeria and Sudan in the south. Essentially, I was there with a class studying French culture, interestingly enough. I didn't go to Paris, I went to Morocco. Mm-hmm. It was really nice because not only did I get to know the best of both worlds where I was speaking French, but at the same time, I was also learning about Islam and the Moroccan culture and Arabic and all of that. I thought it was a really great experience. But yeah, that was my first experience. And then after that, I traveled to Israel, Palestine, with a religion class where we studied the biblical geography of the Holy Land. And there, it was in 2011, and that was just a couple weeks before the Arab Spring began. And even then, I believe the Israeli government, the IDF was really cracking down on any sort of movement of Palestinians within Israel and outside of the, in the West Bank. So for me, being a hijabi at that time, it was my junior year in college, was really, really difficult because I was the only colored person in the whole class. I was the only Muslim person in the whole class. So anytime, like even just off at the airport, as soon as we got to Tel Aviv, they pulled me aside and interrogated me for about an hour with my professor, where they asked me like, you know, what are you doing here? Where were you born? Why are you here? You know, like all these questions. And they were like, oh, where was your grandfather born and what was his middle name? And, you know, like these sorts of things. I'm just like, really? Like, do I look that threatening to you? but anyhow, so that was interesting. And so also traveling within the country was also very difficult because no matter what, even if I carried an American passport, there was still very much aggressive because I was Muslim. So that was really, really just an amazing experience, although it was frightening for my professors and my classmates, but it was a teaching moment because mm-hmm. they were able to see the experience from a Muslim perspective, like what's really going on the ground. Because a lot of what media tells us in the US is like, oh, you know, all these Muslim people are always bombing Israel and all of that. But really, look at the social conditions that are in place to sort of marginalize them and to sort of make it so that they are unable to live their life really in their own country. So, I mean, it speaks so much on our own struggle as, you know, Oromo people in Ethiopia. And so I thought that was a really great experience. And then recently, well, not recently, 2 years ago, I did a mission trip in Honduras, in Tegucigalpa, and that's a really interesting country. I don't speak a word of Spanish, unfortunately, but it was a really great experience where I was able to give sort of like health education modules to orphans and people who were underprivileged in that country. But really what I saw there, what stood out to me most was the fact that people who aren't from the US, like, they take education so seriously. Like, I know, obviously, coming from Ethiopia, I take my education very seriously, but like our youth today, they don't take our education very seriously. They don't take the opportunities that we have here in the US very seriously. It's an opportunity that we don't get if we're elsewhere in the world. Like, granted, there are some things that are super terrible about this country, but education, the free education, is like, it's not anywhere else in the world. So when we're here as refugees or as immigrants, like, we take that for granted. And when I travel outside of the country, I see that people struggling to, like, for example, there was like a $200 scholarship that the government was offering in Honduras, and there were miles and miles of people like in line to get the application, like, for days. And so, like, I appreciate, you know, the little things that I have here, the privileges I have here in this country when I'm traveling outside. And then also, most recently, I was in Haiti as a medical student ambassador for the American Osteopathic Association. Essentially, it was also a French class. It was a social medicine course taught in French. And it was in Haiti, which is obviously a very poor country. But I thought this trip in particular, I was able to really immerse in the social economic history of Haiti and like all of the sort of world powers and how they sort of have created countries where economically they're like marginalized. I thought, you know, that course sort of brought everything together for me, because I, when I was in these different countries, it was always like, as an American, like, you are viewed a certain way, but as an American, you also don't understand some of the history that those people know. Like, we're not taught a lot of world history. We're only taught American history up until 12th grade, and then otherwise after that, you have to, you know, learn it on your own. And so obviously our history is very one-sided, but when you travel outside of the country, you understand some of the geopolitical forces that are at play and how, you know, how citizens of those different countries are view you, even if you're not a white male or a white woman. Like, if you hold an American passport, you're viewed a certain way. And so you get to really understand those perspectives when you're traveling. All to say that I really encourage anybody, whether they're a freshman in college or a senior in college, they have to travel outside of the country at least once. They came from another country. I think it's important that you experience a different culture other than your own.
I just wanted to say to always put God first, whether you're Muslim, Christian, or whatever religion you believe in, to always put God first and always seek out opportunities. Try to always be positive about things, even though, you know, things are challenging. Don't give up. You know, seek out to your communities if you need help with your studies or anything like that. There's always help out there, and don't ever feel like you're alone. There's always going to be challenges, sorry to say. It's never going to be an easy road to anything. If you want to get something, you got to put effort and time in it. So, and you got to be motivated, determined to get where you want to be in life. So just be positive and
Some last minute tips that I wanted to give those who are in high school or in college are to, you're going to get syllabuses, and what your syllabuses are, they're just essentially a course outline of what your entire semester or term is going to look like. So look at that, write it in a calendar, make yourself a weekly calendar, as well as one where it's daily and you can write like to-do things on there, like a planner is what I'm trying to say. Have that ahead of time, look at that every single day. It will, I can guarantee you, help you be extremely successful in getting your things done on time and ahead of time. Don't wait till the last minute. I know procrastination for me is like golden, especially in undergrad, but I will say that my work is not as great when I do it last minute. So I encourage you to do things ahead of time. Your work is going to be better. You're going to put more effort into it. And the product is just going to be extremely significantly better. And your professors will appreciate you for it because they can tell when you're BSing your assignments. So be really proactive on that. And then be on time to class. Don't be late. Sit at the front of the class. Your professors will know who you are. They'll see your face on a regular basis. They're not going to necessarily give you a better grade just because of that. But sometimes making that those early connections can help you do better because obviously they see that you're trying. So they're going to talk to you a bit more and they might even offer you more services or more opportunities. And go to office hours. Like office hours are a thing in college. All professors have them. And if you are able to and can fit it into your schedule, please go to them. At all times, like it's a way to connect with your professors and it'll decrease your stress significantly. I would also say school is extremely important, but so is a balance. Find activities and organizations that you enjoy being a part of, be a part of them, be well immersed. Join leadership opportunities, like become president, vice president. It grows, I think, your feeling of like I can do this and your sense of leadership within those organizations. It'll just help you as you are progressing throughout your career or throughout your education. So don't give up those opportunities. Scholarships, there are tons, especially because we're Oromo, we're first generation. We're Black. There are a lot of identities that can help us get scholarships. So please, please, please apply to those. Obuleti is currently working on constructing a list of application or a list of scholarships that we know specifically that would be helpful for our ladies. So look at those as well. And within your college, they will offer scholarships. So, and when I say college, I don't mean your university, but like there's the College of Education, there's the College of Arts, there's the College of Medicine, like going to your specific schools or disciplines and asking them for those opportunities that are available. And then do whatever you can to keep your GPA up. It's so, so, so important, especially if you wanna go to education further than undergrad. And especially it's important if you have scholarships. It's a way of maintaining those scholarships and getting into graduate schools. And then have a friend or a mentor. Again, I can't say mentor enough. I don't know where I would be today without the mentors that I've had in my life who have encouraged me, who are willing to edit my papers, who are willing to look over my personal statements, who are willing to write me letters of recommendation. Those are the people who are really, who added to who I am today. I've benefited significantly from them. I think I said a lot, and I think that's all I have to say.
I think you guys mentioned a lot of important points, just like what Howie said, to be able to balance out the academic expectations and still having a social life. But one thing I want to say is, like, I know we grow up with this idea that, you know, having a social life is like something almost to like feel bad about. But one thing that our parents don't know is that when we do join these organizations and we do these things, it's actually helping us network, and we're around other people who are in the same, you know, place that we are. And maybe some of them know someone who knows someone who, you know, has some like beneficial information to you. So if I knew someone, if we did have someone here who was in a place where, you know, their parents don't really agree with them leaving the house because they're going to a certain groups for this and that, to not be discouraged because they really can get something good out of it. and their parents may not understand at the moment, but eventually they'll be able to prove it to them.
Going off with how we said, I think, I would say that for people who are first generation, for those of us who don't have role models, it's important that we set the standard, especially if we have younger siblings, because I feel that it's a struggle for us to sort of navigate the education system on our own, you shouldn't feel, what Fadila was saying earlier, that you should never give up, you should work hard and just have faith in Allah, that our God, that you're going to make it, that it's going to work out somehow. Never be in despair. Continue to strive, because at the end of the day, you just got to keep striving. And I think that's such a huge value to your family and to your siblings, because you set the standard as the oldest or as the first generation college student. You have to set that standard. Like for my family, I know that my siblings wouldn't be where they are today if I hadn't gone to college. If I hadn't gone to college, I don't think they would have, you know, known about the resources out there for them to go to college loan free. And then also the other thing you were saying, not only should you have a social life or, you know, join non-academic, you know, groups and stuff, I think it's important that you have a balanced life, period. And also that takes time and it requires you to basically know how you work, because you can work smart and still get good grades and still have a life. And that requires you to sort of find the systems that work for you, how to study better, how to study more efficiently. And so just figuring that out in college takes time and trial and error. And then also at the end of the day, you just got to love what you do. Unless you're loving what you do, like it's going to be really unbearable for you to keep doing it every day if you don't love what you do. Mm-hmm. So find something that you love, and that is worth, you know, all the struggle, and stick with it, because at the end of the day, you're going to be doing it for the rest of your life. So you might as well enjoy it. That's all for now.
Thank you.
Thank you.
One last minute thing that I have is never take no as an answer. Obviously, there are certain things where no is the only way, but I've learned that as long as you are persistent and you know what you want, it can be done. There will be obstacles. I'm not saying it's going to be easy, but persistent. I've had professors overturn grades because I was so adamant about them changing my grade. Like, how dare you give me a B? I deserved an A in your class. And here are the reasons why I deserved an A in your class. Here is the work that I've put into your class. Like, this is how hard I've worked. I received X on this paper or whatever the case might be in order to prove my point that I was somebody who worked really hard. So advocate for yourself. Like, be persistent and advocate for yourself. I once got an A in a class, but I literally had an A+ on all his assignments. And I asked, I think I am worthy of an A+ in your class. And he was like, you're right. Like, initially he gave me an A in the class, but over time he gave me an A+. And it's like, you have to advocate for yourself. You have to persist. You have to be willing to be uncomfortable. Like, sometimes it's hard for us to speak to people who are considered to be our superiors, who are our professors, but remember that we're all humans at the end of the day, and that we all are, you know, can be empathetic and compassionate. And so ask for what you want. Don't take no as an answer. Be persistent, be adamant. This education, these grades, they're important to you. And remember that on a regular basis. And that balance, I can't say that enough. And other thing, there are mental health services on campus. Please reach out to them. There are also health centers on campus that you can go to for various things. Please go to them. They're usually at a low cost for students. And typically you can apply for Medicaid if you are a student. And Medicaid is free health insurance. Health insurance is extremely expensive. So if you can get it for free, get it for free. It offers a lot of services. So don't overlook those, because you need them and you need to make sure that your mind, body, and soul is up to par when you're in college. So That's all I have to say.
I just want to say it's awesome, and you guys are doing wonderful, mashallah. And I love it when our Oromos get together and do, like, positive things like this for the community. I also want to, like, is this mainly just for scholarships and, like, just helping schools, students with schools?
This webinar was tailored to be for students who are currently graduating from college and are currently in college. And for us, those of us who've already graduated or are in different various fields, to kind of give our insight. But generally, Obolete is a network for Oromo women, and we provide a variety of different opportunities, which you can reach out to us and we can tell you about a little bit more. But we're here to support our ladies as they go through their journeys in education and trying to provide as much avenues of success that we can. All right, well, I really appreciate you all joining us on this lovely Sunday evening. I appreciate everybody's thoughts. We will be sharing, I think, the audio of this webinar on our podcast, and then as well as on Facebook and other social media avenues for people to listen to. So thank you again for all of your input. It's really appreciated. This is, you know, we just got to make the small steps, the gradual steps towards success. So thank you all again for joining us. And we hope to see you all again on our next webinar, which is next month. Thank you for joining us on our monthly podcast. If you're interested in learning more about this topic or are interested in leading a conversation, please contact us on our social media outlets. Our handles are at Opolete on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and Snapchat. You can also contact us via our email or our website, which is opolete.org. Again, thank you for joining us, and we hope to see you on our next podcast.